Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Greetings, friends, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that you are all well. Welcome to today's service, and I hope that we will have a blessed time in the presence of the Lord. Come, let us light our candle. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome the light. And our notices, we wish those who are celebrating their birthday from today up until Sunday next week a wonderful birthday, and that you may know that you are special and loved. May God bless you. We continue with those in our community who needs our prayers, as we see in our prayer chain in the pew notices. And also to let the leaders know that we are having a leaders meeting on the 3rd of May at 11 a.m. on Microsoft Teams, and details will be supplied soon. And then on the 10th of May at 10 a.m., we're going to have our society leaders meeting. It will also be online, and the leaders, we will get the details too. And thirdly, just to note that we are continuing with our online or e-services or virtual services, whatever you name it, as we continue in the lockdown until such time that we are allowed to come together in worship in church. Although that is the case, we are still continuing with our church life, which also includes our tithes and our offering. And thanks to those who continue to support the ministry via EFTs or ATM deposits. May the good Lord bless you. We appreciate that. Our bank details, for those who haven't, appear in our pew notices. And last but not least, to state that for pastoral needs, the church is available, the minister and stewards are available to assist with follow-up calls. And this week, we've already done touching base with some members. We are continuing. If you haven't received a call from us, do not worry. We are calling each and everyone just to check how people are, because we are aware that some of our members are not on WhatsApp or on Facebook. So we are reaching out to those. Let us then continue with our service, and we find our call to worship from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. Join as we sing together, or we listen to our hymn 371 as it is rendered by a choir, Westminster Choir and the Methodist Hall Choir. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Thank you.
Come, let us pray. Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, we come to you this morning with our hearts filled with praise. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up and enabled us to come together in this fashion to worship you. Yes, Lord, we are in different places, but we are grateful to know, Lord, that you are not limited by distance, nor space, nor time. You are God. And as you promised us, Lord Jesus, in your word, that when two or three gather in your name, there in your midst you are. And we are encouraged, Lord, to know that you are with us in our families, in our homes, wherever we are gathered in this moment. We thank you, Lord, that you are God who has not left us. You are God who is in our midst. We give you praise, Lord, when we wake up in the morning, being able to see and hear birds sing, and also to see the sun that shines, Lord God Almighty. We thank you that it is just enough to remind us that you are God who is still in control, who is still in charge. And on this day, Lord, we come to you, worshiping you for who you are. And as we come, Lord, we are mindful that sometimes, Lord, we forget. Sometimes, Lord, we doubt. And sometimes, Lord, we ignore you because of our pain, our confusion, our sadness. But Lord, we come to you this morning, humbling ourselves before your throne of grace, asking for your forgiveness. Cleanse us, wash us, scrub us if you must, but make us holy, Lord. Make us pure. Make us be worthy to be in your presence. Cleanse us. And Lord, we stand in your promises, Father, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Thank you that you have forgiven us. In Jesus' mighty name. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we find our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, and we are reading verses 25 to 35. I'm reading from the New International Version, and it reads as follows. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his gospel. Friends, listen with me to Fernando Ortega as he sings "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Luke wrote the gospel before us this morning towards the end of the first century. By this time, the church was mainly made up of Christians who had not seen Christ in person, that is, the risen Christ in person. And most of them, they just believed the gospel as it was preached to them. The passage or the verses that we read is what Luke presents to us, Christ, the risen Christ, who was revealed to disciples, to two disciples, as scripture was interpreted to them and also the breaking of bread. I wish to look at what this revelation meant then and what it means to us now. And I have just 2 points today: testimony from scripture and the eyes opened. We read verses 25 to 35, which form part of the passage of verses 13 to 35, where Jesus appears to two disciples who are going to Emmaus. And these two disciples were walking said and discussing things that had happened. And this stranger, whom they could not recognize, joins them and asks them what it is that they go about discussing. And their response, rather shocked, was, "Is he the only stranger or visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened?" And the stranger continues to ask, "What things?" And then they share their confusion, they share their sadness, they share their pain, and they share their disbelief. That they're discussing about Jesus, who was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, whom the chief priest handed to the Romans, sentenced to death and was crucified. How they had hoped that he would redeem Israel, and that it was the third day after the crucifixion, and some of the women had been to the tomb and say that they saw angels saying that Jesus is risen, and that some of the men had been to the tomb but found the tomb empty, yet did not see Jesus. And at the time when they're speaking to Jesus, they did not know who it was they were speaking to. But I find it quite interesting that at that time, speaking about Jesus as the Messiah could have been very dangerous, but they freely shared their frustration. They freely shared their pain with the stranger who joins them on the road. And as I read, some of the writers alleged that Jesus was dressed as a rabbi. And indeed, Jesus taught and preached. They called him rabbi. And as Jesus appeared to Mary, calling her with her name, her response was rabbi. And Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, and how of slow heart to believe." And there is something here. He doesn't speak to their minds, you know, but speaks to their hearts, that their hearts are slow to believe. And as they walked on this journey to Emmaus, which Luke tells us that it was about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem, on this afternoon of this Easter, and they were discussing, he then took them back to the law, because in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, it was a common practice that they would walk and discuss the law. He did not move away from their pain, from their shattered dreams, but he brought them back to the scripture, which is something that they knew, but something that their hearts at the time could not come to grasp. And he told them what the law had said about Christ, and also what the prophets had said. And Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 53, verse 1, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That the suffering servant had to come and had to be rejected and had to suffer, that people can get salvation. These men were sad and sorrowful because their master was taken away from them. Although they had heard the news that Jesus had risen, they could not believe. That is why we find when Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, says, "Faith comes through hearing, the message that is here in the Word of God. That is why Jesus started with the scripture and he interpreted the message. And as he interpreted the message to them, interpreting the scripture, their faith was built. Instead of sympathizing with them in their loss, this stranger brings the message as it is written in scripture. We find ourselves saddened, worried, concerned over the pandemic. What things are we discussing? We are discussing our hopelessness, our helplessness, our shattered dreams. The future looks bleak. What is going to happen with the school calendar? Has the children lost on everything this year? Are they going to begin the year afresh next year? What about those who are losing jobs? Yes, those are valid points. And unfortunately, our faith in the process has been shaken. We have prayed. God had said that ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. But nothing seems to be happening. Is it not what we feel, what we're experiencing currently? Where is God? Is he still in control? Does he still care? But I want to say to us this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt amongst us, and we have beheld his glory. Jesus is with us. Jesus allows us to tell him our pains. But he does not allow us to end in our pain. He does not allow us to end in our hopelessness. But he speaks the word. He talks to us. He tells us what the word says. Let us therefore encourage one another with what the word says. God has promised never to leave nor forsake us. He is the Lord that heals our disease. As God spoke through Moses, that I have indeed seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries. I have come down to rescue them. Let us discuss on the promises of God. And as we discuss, our faith in God will once again be strengthened. Jesus is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, and by his stripes we are healed. Let our hearts be warmed by the word of God, which brings healing and hope for us. And as our heart is warmed, and as our faith is strengthened, we begin to see a new perspective in life. Because when the heart is right, the eye sees right. Luke tells us that as the two disciples neared Emmaus, the village they're going to, Jesus turned to pass. But Luke tells us that they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." And it was common practice to persuade someone to invite them over. And certainly not like today, wherein we live in fear as a result of the statistics of crime around us. However, this hospitality of urging and persuading people to come over and that we wait upon them goes back to the times of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, where God revealed self in the form of angels as Abraham invited these guests over. That is why when you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, others have entertained angels without knowing it." And as these two invited this stranger, who up until this far was not known to them, that this is the Christ they were said over, their master whom they have lost, their friend who was killed in a horrendous death. And as he came in into the house, something strange happened at this home. Instead of Cleopas and his companion being hosts, the stranger took the role of a host at the table. And there are four things that we note that happened, as Luke tells us. At the table, he took the bread. Then he gave thanks. Then he broke it. And he gave it to them. This is liturgical in the sense that that is what we recite and that is what we follow whenever we come to the table of Christ. This is what Jesus did when instituted the Lord's Supper, as recorded in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And as Jesus had said, "Do this in remembrance of me," their eyes were opened. Yes, they remembered and they recognized Christ. And the Bible says, as they recognized him, he disappeared from their sight. And we know from our hymnal 772 that says, "Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen." Because as we kneel at the table of grace, we begin to see Christ. We begin to see the risen Christ, that he is always with us. Although in our life, our sight might be clouded by things happening around us, but when the scripture is interpreted to us and we kneel at the table of grace, our eyes are opened. And when we talk about the means of grace, we make mention of the word, the study of the word, and also the attendance to the Lord's Supper as some of the channels with which God gives us the grace. And I know that currently, due to our lockdown, we have not been able to partake in the Holy Communion as a community. But Christ is the unseen guest at our every meal. If we take our bread and give thanks and eat, he is in our midst. He is there with us. And I want to say that as the bread is broken and our eyes are opened, I'm reminded of the time when Jesus hung dead in the cross. The Bible says the soldier pierced Jesus' side and blood and water gushed out. And as it gushed out, it fell on his eye. And his eye was healed. And then he was able to say, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus' body that is broken for us gives us life. Life not only in the physical, but life in the spiritual. And because Christ has raised us up together with him, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Though we live in this world, but because of our faith, because of our belief in him, we have life eternal. Our eyes have been opened and we see things that the naked eye could not see. We believe things because our eyes, our spiritual eyes, have been opened. And so I wish to say in closure, and as I close, during this time of lockdown, I've more than once come across a writing that says, when fishermen are not at sea, they mend their nets. And the question was, what are you doing? May we therefore take this time to look into our hearts. Do we believe in the news of the resurrection? I know that when we come to church, we are at different levels. Some believe without any shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ died but rose again. But some of us, we're still struggling. But I wish to invite us that during this time, we may take the time to examine the scriptures, just as Jesus interpreted the scriptures to the two disciples on the way. Let us invite Christ in our lives. Let us invite Christ as we share with Christ our difficulties, our struggles. I know at times we shy away from being open and naked with Christ in our struggles in the journey of faith. But let us do so. And I have said to many friends and continue to say so, that I am so grateful that we as a country are witnessing or are going through the lockdown and facing the reality of COVID-19 during this Easter season. Because, friends, the reminder of the open and empty tomb, the news that Jesus is alive, strengthens and encourages us in our faith that this darkness, this dark cloud of death, this dark cloud of uncertainty, this dark cloud of the coronavirus will pass. Because Christ is alive. Christ rules and reigns. And as we look forward to our gathering in church once more, and we participate as a community in the table of grace, I wish to encourage you as a family that you invite Christ to your meal and expect Christ to reveal self to you, to me, to us on a daily basis. And something that I found quite helpful for me is that Christ did not reveal self to the temple, but Christ revealed self in a home set up to these disciples. And then I ask a question. Do you as a family see Christ in your midst, in your meals, in your day-to-day, in your day-to-day life? Let us pray. God Almighty, you come to us right where we are. In our places of hopelessness, in our places of sadness, in our places of despair, and you speak life and you speak hope. We thank you to be reminded of the core of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which gives us the hope of the resurrection of all the saints, as we say in our creed, that we believe in the resurrection. For though some of us sleep and will continue to sleep in death, but what awaits us is a resurrection into a body that does not perish. The body that Christ had, the body that Christ, when he was recognized by the disciple, then disappeared in their midst, and later on appeared to them when they're back with the other disciples in Jerusalem, sharing that we have seen the Lord, that even as we continue living, putting our faith, putting our hope and our trust in Christ, we know that Christ has conquered everything. And so we come to you even at this moment with those of our community who are in need during this period of lockdown, who are in need of food. Lord, that we pray that you may open doors, that your people may find food. Help us that we may be able to serve them. We pray for those who are in need of healing. You are the Lord that heals our disease. Touch them where they are. Be it emotional or physical health, Lord, there is nothing that is hard, that is too difficult for you, because you are God who is ever present with us, God who is the Almighty. And Lord, we pray for our country and the whole world, and we continue to pray for those in leadership, our president and his cabinet, as they continue strive to work for the good of the country, and also for the scientists and those who are trying to find cure for this pandemic. Give them your wisdom, Lord. And we pray for those who have tested positive. Give them the strength and courage. And you touch them and you heal them, Lord God Almighty. And we pray for those families that have lost loved ones due to this COVID-19. And also for all who are bereaved, who find it hard during this time, that they cannot find comfort from their families and friends due to the reduced numbers. Friend of the lonely, comforter of the sorrowful, be with them in this hour. Be with us, Lord, in different places, and encourage us and give us strength to go on in the life that we are living. And at the end of the day, as we come out from this, that we can be able to run with the agents in the speed with which the two disciples went back to Jerusalem and testified that we have seen the Lord. And I pray that during this time, you can reveal yourself, Lord, to each and every one of us, that we can testify to the others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, at this time, I just wish to take the time to pray for our tithes and our offerings as we continue to make the payments through EFT and also to the ATMs. Almighty God, from whom all good and perfect gifts come, we bring these our offerings and our tithes before your throne of grace, Lord, at these difficult times, Lord, yet we still remember that, Father God, you have promised and you have instructed us in your word that we should bring in the tithes and offerings into your house, Lord God Almighty. And you had promised, Father God, that you will open your floodgates of heaven and you will chase the devourer away. And Father God, as we come, some of us weeping, you promised us, Lord, that as men sow out in tears, they shall reap in joy. We trust in your promises, Lord, which are yes and amen. And continue, Lord God Almighty, helping us as the church to use this in accordance to your will for the extension of your kingdom in this part of the world. We give you praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our closing hymn is "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming King."
Yeah.
Let us share in the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.